Praise God. Welcome to tonight's teaching. I'm wearing a face cap because I'm going to be saying certain things and I don't want to look at your eyes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Did you get that? Okay. I'm going to be saying certain things. I don't want to see your face. That's why I'm wearing a face cap. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, quickly, welcome somebody's church. You're welcome to church. Say, church is the place to be. Say, there's no place like church. Hallelujah. And some folks, some place, there's no place like church. We told you. You've not gotten it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, manifestation of spirit tonight, and let's continue our study. This is part 12, the manifestation of the spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, concerning the things of the spirit. I do not want you to be ignorant. I do not want you to be what? Ignorant. 1 Corinthians 12, everybody. Thank God for the word. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word. God's word is powerful. 1 Corinthians 12. You know, I've seen a lot of people on social media saying, Christianity is about to expire. You know, people are already seeing the truth that Christianity is a scam. Hallelujah. And when I read such posts, I'm like, thank God. Hallelujah. Thank God. This guy is going to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Because what people are tired of is not really the real thing. They're tired of church religion and all the baggages that have come in, human traditions, philosophies of men, ideologies. When men encounter the truth of the word of God and they have a genuine encounter with God's word, it changes everything. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 12 from verse 1. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Paul makes us realize it's important to be well informed concerning the things of the Spirit. And to be ignorant can either be as a result of lack of knowledge or as a result of false information. So you are either ignorant. You are ignorant either because you have not been taught or because you have been taught the wrong things. And sometimes I prefer those who have been untaught, those who have not been taught anything. It's a safer place. Just as concerning the Pharisees, he says he will travel land and sea to win one proselyte. And when he's won, he becomes twice a son of hell. Do you know why? Because the traditions and the commandments of men is what really builds strong goods in the hearts of people. Strong goods. So Paul makes us realize it's important. The things of the Spirit cannot be guessed. The things of the Spirit cannot be accidentally practiced. Amen. There must be knowledge. Now what I just said, I'm going to say it again. The things of the Spirit cannot be accidentally practiced. By that I do not mean that you cannot flow in the things of the Spirit spontaneously. What I'm saying is that prior to flowing in the things of the Spirit, there must be adequate knowledge or information. Even if everything you know from the Bible is that these signs will follow them that believe, that's knowledge. Amen. And that's the reason why you'll be able to rise to the occasion when it's time for you to cast out a demon. Because you know you have the authority or the power to do so. So let's write. Let's start writing. I know you've been writing, but let's start writing according to my notes. Praise God. Okay, so last week we considered what and how Paul taught. Last week we considered how and what Paul taught on the gift of interpretation of tongues. That's where we are in this study, interpretation of tongues. So last week we considered how and what Paul taught on the gift of interpretation of tongues. Amen. Consider this. And we saw how Paul did not teach how to interpret tongues. We saw how Paul did not teach how to interpret tongues. I'm going to restate some of the things I said last week. There's no teaching on interpreting tongues as per showing you how it is done. You don't find it in scriptures. So, what were the things he taught? Let's look through those places again. 1 Corinthians 12:10. So we're going to see everywhere Paul mentions this and the things he said. Those things he said about it are the things we can submit doctrinally. Did you get that? The things he said about it are the things we can submit doctrinally. You can look at the man of God demonstrating this or spirit, maybe talking in tongues and interpreting, and you're like, wow, this is great, and you're inspired. But it will be wrong for that man of God to now chronicle his own experiences and begin to teach them as the way to interpret tongues. The things Paul said about interpretation are the things we can submit as doctrine. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. Look at this carefully. 1 Corinthians 12, 10. Are we all there? So the first time he mentions interpretation, also remember he said, Jesus said nothing about interpreting tongues. Peter said nothing about it. James said nothing about it. John said nothing about it. Jude said nothing about it. The writer of Hebrews, his letter did not even concern those things. Amen. So the only person that mentioned interpretation of tongues is the person of Paul. That's why if you want to study interpretation of tongues, you can't consult any other material apart from this epistle of Paul. Glory to God. So 1 Corinthians 12:10. To another miraculous powers, another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another the interpretation of tongues. So that's where you find the first mention. What is Paul's submission on this particular one? Paul merely makes us realize that there's such a gift called interpretation of tongues. That is all you can learn from 1 Corinthians 12:10. Amen. We have to put that down. Everything you can learn from 1 Corinthians 12:10 about interpretation of tongues is only an awareness that there's such a gift called interpretation of tongues. Hallelujah. Now look at 1 Corinthians 12:30. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 30. Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. That's the second mention of interpretation of tongues. Do all, now Paul was asking a question. Do all walk in all these things? Amen. So there is no how-to in this portion also. Look at the next place. 1 Corinthians 14 and 5. So like I said last week, and you can put this down, there are only two things you are going to see in Paul's letters, or Paul's writing about interpretation of tongues. Just two things. Number one, an awareness of that gift. Number two, the significance of that gift. Those are the only two things you will find about interpretation of tongues in the Bible. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Those are the only two things. An awareness. Okay, there's something called interpretation of tongues. And then you know what it is. And then you know the significance. That's all. So where do we find a volume of material? Where do we find a compendium of materials on interpretation of tongues in the body of Christ today? I'll tell you. Human experiences. Hallelujah. Human experiences. And that's the bane of error today. You know that some years back, some people gathered themselves and they had a conference. And they titled the conference, Strange Fire. Amen. Strange Fire. And one of the things they saw in that conference, one of the things they studied and did was to study the charismatic movement. Of course, they had their own excesses too. But then some of the things they said were very accurate. They saw how that people were not really flowing in tears of spirit. It was more of a sense-ruled or a sense-based demonstration. Praise God. And that's because people have gone beyond Bible syllabus. The things that you cannot find in the scriptures are the things people stand behind the pulpit to teach as doctrinal positions or submissions on interpretation of tongues. And that's so dangerous. Glory to God. Look at 1 Corinthians 14 and 13. The next place you're going to find this word, interpret. You find different shades of variances of it. You find interpret, interpretation, interpreter. You know, they all are from the same root. 1 Corinthians 14
in verse 13.
What do we learn from this one?
I'll read.
It says, for this reason, the one who... Okay, sorry. 1 Corinthians 14:5 first. You've not read that. So let's see that. It says, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets. So that the church may be what? Edified. So the second time we're going to find the word interpretation or interpretation of tongues or interpret. What is it about? Showing you the importance or the significance or the purpose of that gift. That is the second place. So that the church will receive what? Edification. Now when he says the one that prophesies is greater than the one that speaks in tongues, the comparison is between the gifts in the real sense. Not really the persons, because it's at the moment of service we are saying this guy is greater. Do you get? Because of his service to the body. The man that is speaking in tongues only edifies himself. The man that prophesies edifies who? The church. Now, in the kingdom of God, you know that service is the hallmark of greatness. The man that will serve is the man Jesus refers to as the great person, a great man. So it's in only that context. It's only in that context we can say this person is greater than this person. Hallelujah. So in the real sense, the comparison is not between people. It's about the gift in demonstration. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that means after the service, the man is not greater than this guy. You get it? That means after that moment, there's nothing like greater. It's in the service to us in the church. Praise God. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:13. So far, and listen guys, you don't have to take my word for it. We need to be very objective. The things I'm saying tonight, you need to be very objective with them. What can you see in the scriptures? Amen. Because the truth is, if you can submit to me that, see, sir, we can teach how to interpret tongues from the Bible, I will submit to you. If you can show me and prove it, I will submit to you. Hallelujah. But if you cannot show me, then let us be objective enough. What can I see in the pages of scriptures? 1 Corinthians 14:13. For this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say. So what do we learn about this? For this reason, you have to go to verse 12. Right? Verse 12. And then I'll start from verse 11. For what reason? If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I'm a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker is a foreigner to me. So it is with you. Since you are eager for the gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. Hallelujah. So for this reason, the man that prays in tongues should also desire to what? Interpret. Now when he says that the man that prays in tongues, you pray that he may interpret. It doesn't mean he should start praying to God, Lord, give me the gift of interpretation. It means to pray to the end that he would interpret. If I come to speak in tongues to you, I should speak in tongues till it leads or results in interpretation. Hallelujah. We saw that earlier, that the word that there is in order that he may interpret. So what are we learning again from this portion of scripture? Nothing much. It's just showing us the importance of the gift. What it says to do for the body. 1 Corinthians 14:26 too. Just three more places and, you know, that's all. That's everything Paul said about the interpretation of tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:26. What then shall we say, brothers and sisters, when you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be what? Built up. Again, just an awareness that there's such a gift in demonstration in the midst of us. That is all. You don't find the how-to. You only find a knowledge of the gift and the purpose of that gift. Verse 27. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two are the most three should speak one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. So the significance of the gift. Okay, I think we had the third one. Then the orderly use of that gift. Hallelujah. An orderly use of that gift. That is, there's a way to use that gift. I don't come to church and start praying in tongues till a point where, I'm speaking to you now in tongues, and I don't interpret, then I go to have my seat. I must interpret. Glory to God. That is the orderly use of the gift of tongues and interpretation. And guys, this is all there is to interpretation of tongues in the letter of Paul. Amen. Now let's put this down. Those who teach extensively on how to interpret tongues, those who teach extensively on how to interpret tongues will corrupt the practice of this gift. Will corrupt the practice of this gift. And you know, these things are not new. They've been around for a while. In fact, the first time I was exposed to this kind of teaching on, you know, just stretching things beyond the scope of scriptures, I remember I embarked on the 40 days fasting and prayer, and there was this white man that I just stumbled across his videos then. So he was teaching on how to activate the things of the Spirit, you know, activation meeting. And by the time we listened to the whole thing, that was the most miserable 40 days of my life. Hallelujah. You know, miserable. It taught me very frustrating things. Techniques. How to see visions. Open your eyes. He was a white man. And you know, I was frustrated. Funny enough, this is me that on normal retreat, normal prayer, you see visions, you hear things. I could not hear anything. To see was a problem. And someone was teaching me how to see. Praise God. So, see, these things are not new. You're going to find them in many places. Just before the meeting today, on YouTube, I typed in the word for interpretation in Google. And, you know, because that's where I get the pronunciations. So as I put it, I saw a particular video of a white guy. It caught my fancy on interpretation of tongues. Oh, great. Let me quickly watch. And the first thing he said was so damnable. So these things are everywhere. In fact, he said interpretation of tongues is not translation. And you know, we used to say that, but we're not saying the same thing. What he meant was actually different. And then he went on and on and on. So you have a lot of misleading things flying around. That's why you must stay with scriptures. So I say, those who teach from their experiences will corrupt, or those who teach extensively will corrupt this gift. Why? Because they will be making rules and formulas from their own experiences. Because they will be making rules and formulas from their own experiences. I know some of them are too great. They can't even be corrected again. They cannot. You know, how do you correct such a thing when you've done like maybe 900 series? Hallelujah. You know, it's hard. It's very hard. It's a different thing now if you have been teaching it under one ought somewhere. But I mean, you've done teachings, you've done all manner. Let me give you an example. One time on Facebook, I saw a post, and the man of God, I know him, and he wrote a post. He said, I want to teach you how to heal the sick, or no, how to flow more in things of spirit. He said, just be compassionate. Hallelujah. Do you know what that means? Be compassionate. How do I get compassionate? I should just say, I'm alone in the room. Be compassionate. Please go. Compassionate about who? So he said, in that state, close your eyes. The first person that comes to your eyes, to your mind, you know, God is with. And then I looked at the whole thing, very sense rude. Was that how Jesus was compassionate? Amen. You know, there's this idea of stay in your room and be practicing it. Experiment. It doesn't make sense. So, and of course, people share testimonies, and that's the problem. You see, that testimony, the teaching was not a major problem. The testimonies were the problem. That there were testimonies after that post was my problem. Hallelujah. Because testimony strengthens ignorance. That's the truth. Now, when you read those testimonies, someone says, I was led to my in-law. I was, in-law, in-law. Those things are not to be done that way. Hallelujah. Now, I love that man of God. I'm not fighting him. I'm just saying my own. Amen. At least what we can see from scriptures. That nobody taught it that way. Nobody said the way for you to... You see, let me tell you something. Some of the people who have mightily walked in miraculous were even very arrogant. There was no compassion. Do you know some people have worked in miracles and there was no compassion? It's just to show you that God is here. Because it's not the formula. The Bible records for us that Jesus, and he felt compassion. Does not mean every time he wanted to heal the sick, he said, where's my compassion? Hallelujah. In fact, in the temple, while in the heat of, you know, being vexed at the guys, that was when he healed the blind guys. It's about the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So, that compassion too was a spontaneous thing. You know, sometimes you look at a sick person and you're just overwhelmed by the person's challenge. There's another explanation of that compassion that you find in the NIV, for instance. Mark 1:41. He says Jesus was indignant. Amen. What is indignancy? In the Aramaic, they mean the same. To be indignant and compassionate. Because it's compassion for the man and you are vexed at the oppression. Glory to God. So, there are no formulas. That's what I'm saying. They will make rules and formulas out of their own personal experiences. That's right. The danger of this is that it destroys the idea of diversity that Paul taught in his letter. The danger of this is that it destroys the idea of diversity that Paul taught in his letters. Amen. Oh God, where are we in the body of Christ? Where are we in the body of Christ? Where there are people who already speak in tongues like their pastors. I mean, we hear your tongue. It's like your pastor's tongue. Tongues! Glory to God. Diversity is destroyed. You can't find it. People are merely trying to mimic and imitate and copy. Praise God. Listen, what I'm saying in essence is, your pastor can be speaking in a way that sounds so smooth and your own tongue is out of, you know, decorum. Do you get it? It's not the same way your pastor dresses in a certain way. You now dress like him. The things of the Spirit are not like that. You can't imitate it or copy it. Glory to God. Imagine if the disciples were meant to copy the way Jesus healed the sick. Imagine the disaster that they would have made out of their ministries. Imagine how Peter would have been spitting everywhere. He sees a blind man. The man of God is spitting everywhere. They say he's a spitting apostle. Hallelujah. See, there are no rules. There are no formulas. It is about the Holy Ghost. And you see, when it is about the Spirit, you see that diversity. You see it. The different expressions of the same gift. Glory to God. Let's see two key texts of the Bible. 1 Corinthians 12:4-6. 1 Corinthians 12:4-6. You know, I'm not hacking anybody. And I've been saying it from the day one of this series. I'm not hacking anybody particularly. You know? I set an example. You say, he's that man of God. He's not that man of God. He's another one. Amen. So, just focus on the teaching. 1 Corinthians 12:4-6. There are diversities of gifts, but the same, what? There are differences of ministries, but the same. And there are diversities of what? Activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Hallelujah. Diversities. You know, we've seen that before. Varieties. Diversities of gift. Now, beyond the diversity of gift and the diversity of ministries, we now have a diversity of the workings. That's where Paul ended it. That's verse 6. Diversity of what? Of activities. But it is the same God who works all in all. You see, that verse 6 deals with the workings of the gifts and the ministries. Such that you can be speaking in tongues. This other man is speaking in tongues, but it is not the same flow. Hallelujah. Listen, look up. 1 Corinthians 12 deals with gifts of the Spirit and ministries. Those are the two things you find there. The first part deals with the gifts. In the middle of the discourse, Paul begins to show us the interdependence that exists between the body of Christ. Wherein the eye cannot say to the foot, I don't need you. We are all one body. And then he says, we have all been made to drink into one spirit. We've been baptized into the body of Christ. We all are one. Then way down, it goes to ministry gifts. Apostles, teachers, prophets. Those two things. Now, so verse 6. Verse 4 mentions the gift. Verse 5 mentions the ministries. Verse 6 mentions the workings of both. The effectiveness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now let me read these translations to you. So verse 6 deals with the workings. We've seen this extensively in the previous sessions in the series. Let me read the Amplified for you. It says, and there are distinctive varieties of operation of working to accomplish things, but it is the same God who inspires and energizes them all in all. What I'm saying in essence is simple. That if you look at the ministry of Jesus, you see Jesus healing the sick man, and I'm about to bring in a word example. Don't assume I'm saying Elisha and Jesus are in the same category. Amen. But just take it like that. So, you see Jesus heals a blind man, puts spit in mud and puts it on the eyes and says, go and wash your face. And then you see Elisha tell a man, Naaman, to go and get washed in water. And you say, hey, I now get it. It is water. Hallelujah. If you want to see God's power, it is water. Because you witnessed two miracles. So by the time you see them heal the sick the next time, you will be like, okay. Hallelujah. So you'll be shocked. It is the Spirit that inspires what to do part time and how to do it. So it is none of your senses, it is none of your own intelligence. Glory to God. I think we most times overrate our intelligence. Hallelujah. People overrate their intelligence. You see, I'm being intelligent with these things. You cannot be intelligent with spiritual things. Amen. Do you know why? Because your intelligence will argue. There are things the Holy Ghost will lead you to do. Your intelligence will say, no. Not in this 21st century. Hallelujah. Your intelligence will say, no, I cannot. What do people say? That is why it is spiritual. Hallelujah. Do you get what I'm saying? Your intelligence will argue. In fact, by your intelligence, you can overrule a move of the Spirit in the middle. You can think it is out of place to have such a manifestation. Sometimes you can even determine that the time is not right. Do you know? For instance, we can come for a teaching meeting. And then, after the teaching meeting, we just say, everybody rise up, let's pray. We are going home after the teaching ministry. And then you have a word by the Spirit. Do you know this is possible? I'm not talking about the pastor. A member of church has a word in a teaching meeting. And they will say, doesn't the Holy Ghost know this is for teaching? They will say, the Holy Ghost knows, but I still have a word though. Say, no, come on. You can't be doing this. You know what we are saying? We are saying he is the custodian. He is the one determining the when and the how. Who has told us there is a particular meeting appropriate for the move of the Spirit? Glory to God. Where do we find that in scriptures? That there is a particular meeting for the move of the Spirit. And there are meetings where, let's all just maintain. Glory to God. Listen guys, if a person is sick tonight, in need of healing, would the Holy Ghost wait till next week when we are going to have koinonia? or Gumnazo retreat? Would the Holy Ghost wait? If somebody is in need of direction tonight, badly, a word of wisdom, would the Holy Ghost have to wait till next month when we'd have a conference? And you say, let's not walk in Jesus' spirit now. We are actually acting as though we are the ones in charge of the demonstration. It is by the Spirit. Hallelujah. We are only meant to yield. Glory to God. I can bet you that it was inappropriate, according to modern day parlance, it was inappropriate for them to have given Paul a word when he was on his way to Jerusalem. Was that a Holy Ghost meeting? I'm asking a question. Was that a Holy Ghost meeting? Was that a conference? What happened there? They were just there together. That thing does not hold water, because we teach that we can flow in the things of the Spirit even outside the church. So when we now come to church, we confine the Holy Ghost to certain meetings. But when we go outside, we expect us to flow in things of the Spirit anytime. You can get into a bus and, you know, minister to somebody. You can have a word for somebody on the street. But when you come to church, you cannot. Now, get me right. I'm not saying if you're in a meeting like this, as I'm teaching tonight, you just get up and say, I have a word. That's not what I'm saying. That will be disorderliness. But I'm saying you can be given a word by the Spirit. What are you meant to do in such a meeting? Note it down. Sometimes you see somebody come here to drop a note after the meeting or after the teaching. While I'm doing an announcement, someone just rushes out, drops a note. That's it. Do you know on Sunday we received the word? Somebody came here and dropped the paper here. Accident warded off by the power of God. And on Monday we got someone saying how that they were involved in a very serious crash. Would the Holy Ghost wait till next week when we are planning for a meeting where we now flow in tears of the Spirit? I don't think so. Hallelujah. It's the operation of the Spirit. So that idea of your intelligence, it must be submitted to God's word. It must be submitted to the Spirit of God. And allow yourself flow according as you are led of the Spirit. Look at the NCV version. Let me read to you. NCV. It says, and there are different ways. Listen to this one. There are different ways that God works through his people. But the same God works in all of us, in everything we do. There are different ways God works. It's not about the office or the gift. It's about the working, the way these things are done, the variety, the diversity that you see in it. Listen, I'm meant to see you walk in Jesus' way and be like, wow, God is great. Like, I should stand in awe of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Another person does it and we're like, wow, man, God. That variety, that diversity, that, what's the word now? That non-preempting and non-preconceived move of the Spirit kind of stuff. Glory to God. That's what we're saying. Look at the NET. And there are different results, but the same God will produce all of them in everyone. NET is a very good translation, by the way. Then the NIV says, there are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. So write this down. So listen, we are not here to copy. We are not here to imitate any man of God. We are not here to imitate anybody in the church. Hallelujah. The things you can imitate, if somebody is praying, for instance, look at me. If somebody is praying in this church, the only thing you can imitate is maybe the way the person walks. You see Perez praying, he doesn't. You can do that. It's allowed. Praise God. You can copy him. We'll not say, diversity. That one is not diversity. Amen. You can kneel down. We all can kneel down. Abi, those ones are not diversity. We're talking about the tongues, the utterance. So when I see that your utterance is sounding like that of Perez, then I go back a bit. Praise God. See, MOG, what's happening? Say, it's because we are always together in the room. Okay, I get it. But renew your mind though. Amen. Because you cannot be speaking the same tongues. Hallelujah. You cannot. Prophecy. You can give the same prophecy, right? Do you know you can prophesy the same things? But do you know you will not prophesy the same way? Glory to God. You will not. Imagine if Paul was the one that wrote the book of Revelation. I'm sure the writing would have been different. It would be the same thing, though, same message, but the writing would have been different. Glory to God. Maybe not as scary as, you know, John put it. Amen. Maybe instead of dragon, it would have been a honeybee. Hallelujah. The man is personality, everything will come to play. Look at Agabus. Agabus will tie belts. All the drama. Just to give a simple prophecy, they will bind you. You know? He had to first bind himself. Glory to God. If it was Paul, Paul might just say, see, watch it, guys. You may be arrested. You may get arrested. You may not make it. Praise God. And just move on. Different expressions. Now, listen. Most times, when people are now schooled with a certain prophet, maybe Prophet Agabus has a school of prophets, whatever that means, has a school of prophets, and is training people in prophecy, that's when you now see that all of them will be dramatists. All of them will be acting. When they want to give, they will act. They will, because they are learning Agabus, not the Spirit. Hallelujah. This is amazing. Now write this down. Well, listen to this message again. I'm not slandering. I'm teaching. So instead of copying this, or copying another man's style, you are meant to believe in God's working in and through you. Instead of copying another man's style, you are meant to believe in God's working in and through you. Glory to God. God's working. Oh, hallelujah. Peter's shadows heal the sick. Jesus' shadows never heal the sick. You see that? Never heal the sick. I think it was Pastor Stella that went to a meeting where the man of God said, look at my shadow now. I'm going to pass now. Now watch what will happen. And as he passed, the shadow went on, began to fall. People he had brainwashed. Hallelujah. People he had brainwashed to fall. Because nobody saw Peter's shadow heal the sick, and they all began to stay by the roadside too, when it's getting dark, so that their shadows will heal the sick. It was a move of the Spirit. For Paul, they were his aprons. The Bible says in Acts 19, and God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. For Jesus, it was the hem of his garment. Hallelujah. And you know, they were not even documenting those things as an approach, even for themselves. How many times did Peter's shadows heal the sick? Was it a normal thing? They called him to come and heal Tabitha. He didn't say, let it be late a while. Then my shadow will rise. Hallelujah. He just went to knelt down and prayed. And that was it. Praise God. You know, we can get used to formulas. And when you are used to formulas, you don't depend on the Spirit. You are acting like a herbalist. Somebody they are giving a broom. Whenever you want to show somebody pepper, just wipe them twice. See, in Christ, that thing is not like that. Glory to God. And I gave you the example of Moses last week. Moses was told to strike the rock. He struck the rock. The next time, speak to the rock. No formula. Then he struck the rock twice. Water still came out, Abby. He struck the rock twice. Because you don't need formulas. What you need is to rely on the leading of the Spirit. And when you rely on the leading of the Spirit, you will never go wrong in those things. Hallelujah. And listen, that's the only reason why you also never be under pressure. Glory to God. You not be under pressure. Put that in your notes. You will not be under pressure. If it's by the Spirit, you will not be under pressure. You will wait for that inclination or that prompting by the Holy Ghost. You won't be under pressure. Glory to God. Glory to God. In a meeting, say, so both of you now, give yourself a word of knowledge. Then the other person begins to sweat. Praise God. The first one, your mother's name is Kineko. They say, ah, ha, Uluwa Miero. Hallelujah. Before he says anything, they give me like 4 words of knowledge. Hey, say, you two now, come up, Ida. Hallelujah. The guy is sweating. He said, okay, you're a boy. He has to say something, he's under pressure. You know, I'm not a boy. I'm a man. Hallelujah. And a lot of guesswork too, you know. Guesswork. Your name is Tunde. Shola. Gemi. Josiah. No, it's none of that. It? Margaret. Taddy. Yes, sir. Yeah, I got it. So, you went to Obafemi Awolowo. No. Jiwai. No. Epoma. Uniben. Yes, sir. We've mentioned all the universities. Hallelujah. One must be there. Glory to God. You call all the popular Yoruba names, you get one. The things of the spirit are not like that. Ah, Atamata sin. You will get it. Hallelujah. You get it. Sharp shooting. It's the Holy Ghost. Listen, if the spirit of Satan gets things accurately, how much more the spirit of God? Imagine that. Imagine occult people won't do guesswork. One time I was going to Ghana. I've said this many times. I was going to Ghana. One guy was coming in a red garment and shaking something. So our boss had a stop at Kutonu. This guy was coming, a traditional worshipper. He got to my boss and he called the name of the person's uncle beside me. The person beside me, he called the name of the person's uncle. The guy said, yeah, he called what he ate last night. The guy, yeah! You know? An occult man. So why should a man of God be gambling? He said, no, you know, we get better with practice. Stop practicing. Go and pray. Hallelujah. The things Jesus did, you think he was practicing? It came out of a lifestyle of devotion. That is your practice. That is what the Bible calls training. Exercise yourself towards godliness. It's about spiritual disciplines. You give yourself to the word. You give yourself to prayer. You give yourself to the things that make for growth. And when it's time to flow in things of the spirit, you will be fit. Hallelujah. That's your practice. When you have long sessions of prayer, what do you think you are doing? You're exercising your spirit. That is the practice that matters. Are you following this? It's important. Glory to God. Let's see this other place. Romans 12 and verse 3 to 8. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3 to 8. So I said, if men teach based on their experiences, it will destroy the diversity that is taught in the letters of the apostles. You will not see a need to allow the Holy Ghost prompt those expressions. Amen. You won't see a need for it. You won't see a need for it. You only be relying on what others are doing. Glory to God. Let me say this. Even as basic as coming to church and then we are singing songs, lifting up our hands, you know, when you look around, you discover that the expressions are not the same. Ordinarily, that. There are times when some folks will be loud, you know, and it's like they want to tear their skin and just go to heaven. God, my God, and they want to... And at that point in time, another person is in one corner just saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Say, oh boy, you're deep. Hallelujah. Well, you don't even know. Maybe something just dropped in his heart that brought him into that state of awe. Amen. You don't know. So you find different expressions. Look at Romans 12, verse 3 to 8. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members, note, a measure of what? God has dealt to each one a measure of what? Think of yourself soberly, not too highly. That is, every one of us has a measure. Now, measure of faith here is directly proportionate to what he was saying, what he was explaining. The
place you have in the body of Christ. Amen. Your place in the body of Christ and your gift. That's the measure of the faith. It doesn't mean your faith is half. My faith is quarter. When we bring it together, it becomes one. No, come. That's not what he was saying. It's about your place in the body. That's why he says, don't think too highly of yourself. Hallelujah. Because you are not the body. You are a member of the body. Hallelujah. So Romans 12 again. Verse 4. So you see, the next thing he says at verse 4 is, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to your faith or to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now, let's write this. Again, Paul uses the analogy. Again, Paul uses the analogy of the human body. Again, Paul uses the analogy of the human body to show how none is superior to another. To show how none is superior to another because of his gifts. To show how none is superior to another because of his gifts. Please, underline analogy in your notes. You know, because many times people stretch these things. You are the leg, is the eyes. I'm the nose. That's not what Paul is saying. Amen. So underline analogy. It's just an illustration. Glory to God. The body of Christ is not the same as the human body. It is just an illustration. And I'm going to show you why a stretch will do a disservice. So let's keep writing. The measure of faith is about your place in the body and the gifts operating through you. The measure of faith is about your place in the body and the gifts operating through you. That's the measure of faith. It's about your place. Glory to God. In other words, the reason why he calls it a measure is that you have a limit. You can't function beyond that. You can't say, I'm the body of Christ. I don't need anybody. I can just do my own. No. There's a measure that's been imposed on you because you are not the body. You are only a part of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. So that's what it calls measure. So, don't esteem yourself beyond your place in the body. That's exactly what Paul is saying in this place. Now, the truth is, there are no two people function the same way. Amen. No two people function the same way. Listen, even if you are taught by a pastor, and you are brought up by a pastor, and you also now become a teacher of God or a pastor, the truth is, we'll find some similarities. You know, that's what mentoring is about. Find some similarities, how you teach, how you speak. And you know, all those ones, they are basically about influence. You know? Because even in the world, normally, if you listen to a speaker regularly, if you listen to Obama every day now, before you know it, you start sounding like him. So that one is not what we are talking about here. We are talking about the expression of that gift. Amen. In the which you have to depend on the ability and the grace of God upon your life. So look at verse 4 and 5. No two people function the same way in the body. That's what Paul is saying. Though we are many members, though there's one body, we are many members, each of us do not have the same function. Is that not what Paul is saying? Many members in one body, but all the members do not have what? The same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. So no two members of the body of Christ function the same way. The expressions will be different. And it can be the same gift. Glory to God. Now, let's put this down. The word function is translated office in the KJV. The word function is translated office in the KJV. You know, that translation seems like it's saying you are in an office or a ministry that allows you, you know, do your own thing. Another person now has a different office and all that. But then, you notice that Many other translations, NIV, Amplified, even NKJV, have since adopted function. Because the word function there is not really about the office. It's about what is being done. Hallelujah. It's about what is being done. Because that's what Paul is about to start sharing. If you are prophesying, then prophesy according to your according to the proportion of your faith. If it's ministering, then minister well. If it's showing mercy, do it with cheerfulness. It's about the things done, the different expressions of the gift of God. Hallelujah. So the word office in KJV. But many translations have since chosen function. Many translations have since chosen function because that sounds more like what Paul is saying here. That sounds more like what Paul is saying here. That's the Greek word praxis. That's the Greek word praxis. Is that the correct pronunciation? Praxis or praxis? Praxis, more like it. That's the Greek word praxis. You know, sometimes I forget these pronunciations because it's not my language. Amen. So, don't be angry. Praxis. And what does it mean? It means mode of acting or an action or a doing. It's a noun, but it's a noun that explains what is done. Mode of acting, a doing, or an action. Let's keep writing. So it's not just differences in offices, but difference in expressions. It's not just differences in offices, but differences in expressions. You know, that's why it says, if you prophesy, you do it according to the proportion of your faith. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And that's why I do not subscribe to the idea of rating manifestations of the Spirit. I don't. Somebody comes out in this place, gives a prophecy, and then another person comes to give a prophecy, and we say, that first guy, man, his own prophecy, eh? You know, be here. No. That's not it. Hallelujah. Most times people assume that the person with the wildest, in quote, kind of demonstration in the meeting is the most mature person. But I've been in meetings where somebody who was not even as serious and committed was the person that had the most apt demonstration. Amen. You know, because see, the workings of the gift is not about you. It's about the Spirit. Glory to God. And let me make a categorical statement. If every believer can speak in tongues, if every believer can start speaking in tongues, day one, you believe because you can start speaking in tongues. The same believer, by the same Spirit, can minister word of knowledge, can minister gifts of healing, can minister workings of miracles in a meeting, in a very remarkable way. You'll be shocked. Because it is not about, see, when it comes to gifts, the maturity of the man is not the most important thing. It is fruit of the Spirit that determines maturity. But gift of the Spirit is about God's working in and through us. Hallelujah. The gift of the Spirit is about what? God's working in and through us. Maybe you should get over this inferiority complex, low self-esteem, spiritual low self-esteem that is in the body of Christ today. I can't be used of God until I've done this. No! Hallelujah. Back in the Old Testament, a donkey restrained the prophet because of his madness. A donkey. How much more a man full of the Spirit of God? See, when people solve and resolve all those complications in their minds, they are more open to the manifestation of the Spirit. When you are cured of that feeling of insecurity or unworthiness, that feeling of I'm not there yet, I've not done enough, when you are cured of that, you're able to flow more. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, many times people have a problem with such stories in the Bible. See, a donkey, how can a donkey speak? Yet, the same person will be watching African magic of a bird that was speaking and will believe it. You go to the village, you hear that in the village, a goat was talking and you believe it. You watch Eno Yahushua go. And you consider it a possibility. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you know parrots speak? They speak as humans. You can go on YouTube, go and watch. Parrots speak. Last month, Ronke was in a supermarket. The parrot said, "Stop there." She freaked out. "Stop there." They said the parrot used to say, "You're welcome." In her own case, said, "Stop there." Because he was wearing a mask. So the parrot, holy, really, you. "Stop there." He freaked out. A donkey can speak. A mosquito can speak. Anything can speak. God created the mouth. He created speech. Hallelujah. Anything can happen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's continue. So it's not just difference in what now? In offices, but differences in expressions. Let's keep writing. The emphasis is on the actual doing. The emphasis is on the actual doing. The emphasis is on the actual doing. That's how this word is used across the New Testament. That's how this word is used across the New Testament. Let's see. Matthew 16:27. See that the emphasis of practice is on the practice. Not really on having one office you are in or a position. It's on the practice. Matthew 16:27. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Matthew 16:27. Shall we read? "For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory and his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done." The KJV says, "According to their deeds." That's the word practice. Deeds. It is about works. What you have done. The things you are doing. So, we all are not the same members. Though we are one body, we do not have the same expressions, the same works, the same deeds. Glory to God. Luke 23:51. Hallelujah. Luke 23:51. Those who write science fictions, they are writing from a place of, you know, they just feel that there should be more to life. Amen. But you know, that Superman status they are looking for is in Christ. Things have happened in Christ. More things are still going to happen in Christ. Things are going to be staggering. Praise God. Staggering. Luke 23. Oh God, I just remembered an incident. One time my pastor and his associate, they were traveling to Ilori, and there was this particular bridge back then in Ilori, very tiny bridge, only one car can pass at the same time. So their bus driver had gone on that path and was running, and a trailer had come on the same path and they were running, and there was no way out, and he's alive today. What happened? They don't know. They found themselves on the other side. The trailer was on the other side. Glory to God. Nobody swerved off the road. In this church, some years back, there was a man, he's late now. There was a man that came here. One day, he was going for his pension. He was going to, you know, all those pensioners. They used to go there every time. He was on his way there. He was hit with a bus. Guess what? It passed through him. It passed through him. Supernatural things. Hallelujah. It passed through him. My dad, we went to Ikoto, and a bike cleared him off the road. And as he was falling, you know what happened? He felt a hand. His head did not touch the ground. And then what happened? So he felt a hand hold his head. And that was the only saving grace. Praise God. You would experience the supernatural to the degree that you believe it is possible. Amen. If you say, it cannot happen, all those things, well, it will not happen. Hallelujah. I believe in the miraculous. I'm a stickler for the supernatural. If the worst comes, if the worst comes to the worst, something will happen. Hallelujah. The power of God will break out. And we need to be more comfortable with those things as believers. There's more to life than meets the eye. There's more to life than meets the eye. Luke 23 and verse 51. Are you there? Hallelujah! Amazing. Luke 23:51. That was Luke 23:51. So let me read. How it says, who had not consented to their decision and action. Another portion or another translation is, who has not consented to their counsel and deeds. I think that's KJV. It's the same word, praxis. Look at Acts 19:18. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the move of the Spirit. Acts 19 and verse 18. Glory to God. We're ushering in a revival in this generation. It will last. You know why it will last? It's going to ride on the wings of knowledge. Hallelujah. It won't be like those ones that lasted 2-3 years and fizzled away. It will ride on the wings of knowledge, accurate knowledge. So it will last. Acts 19 and 18. Look at this. Let me read quickly. Bible says, many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they had done. KJV says, their deeds. That's the word praxis. Romans 8 and 13. If you by the Spirit mortify the deeds of the body, you will live. That word deeds is the word praxis. Colossians 3, 9. Colossians in chapter 3, verse 9. Glory to God. Colossians 3, 9. Are you still in church? Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9. Oh Lord. Colossians 3, 9. What does he say? He says, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, with its deeds. I like this because the Strong's dictionary translates praxis as practice. Or practices. So when he says we do not have the same function, it is talking about the practice, the actual carrying out or the exercise of this gift, the prophesying, the ministering, the services, the cheerful giving. Hallelujah. It's about the deeds. Now, write this down quickly. Now, don't get me wrong. Write this down quickly. The word office is part of the semantic range. The word office is part of the semantic range. Part of the semantic range of this word. What is semantic range? All the possible meanings of that word. So the word office, rather, is part of the semantic range of the word praxis. But it is rarely used as office. That's why those translations have adopted function. It is rarely used as office. Let's keep writing. In fact, it is from the root word praso. P-R-A-S-S-O. It is from the root word praso. P-R-A-S-S-O. Which means to practice. You know, this is the verb. That one is the noun. So the verb is about the action. The noun is about the thing done. The result of the action. Amen. So praso is the verb, which means to practice. It means to perform repeatedly or habitually. Perform repeatedly or habitually. It means to do, to accomplish, to commit, to perpetrate. So you see, the verb and the noun practically mean the same. One is only the act, the act, the doing. While the other is the done. Praise God. That which is done. Amen. Let's keep writing. So though we have the gift, we don't act out the gift the same way. Though we have the gift, we don't act out the gift the same way. Hallelujah. Though we have the gift, we don't act out the gift the same way. Keep in mind that the analogy of the body must never be stretched. Keep in mind that the analogy of the body must never be stretched. must never be stretched to mean some are the eyes while others are legs. You have to keep that in mind. Because that's the error that has led some to say, you have prophecy. You have word of knowledge. You have interpretation of tongues. And you know, it's funny. I've said before, those gifts operate together. Sometimes three of those gifts, they go together. So, one person cannot have word of knowledge. Another person, word of wisdom. The man that gives a word of knowledge in a situation that requires a word of wisdom would also give a word of wisdom. Hallelujah. The man that gives a tongue to a brother must be able to do what? Interpret it. So you don't have one gift and one gift. So members of the body is only an analogy. Why? Put this down in your note. The body of Christ is made up of individuals who are complete in Him. The body of Christ is made up of individuals who are complete in Him. You know, because you must factor in the reality of identification with Jesus. One man is as complete as Christ. So you can't say he cannot prophesy, he can only give tongues. He can't do tongues, he can only give word of. You can't say that. Because this particular person is just like Jesus. Hallelujah. So can Jesus function in all these gifts? Then the believer can. Colossians 2, 9 to 10. It says, in Him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, but you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principalities and power. Hallelujah. So, these are individuals who are complete in Christ. Let's keep writing. So, the function here is not one per person. The function here is not one per person. But how we operate in all the gifts in us. The function here is not one per person, but how we operate in all the gifts in us. Glory to God. Verse 6 clarifies this. Look at verse 6 again of Romans 12. Verse 6 clarifies this. Look at verse 6 of Romans 12 again. Romans chapter 12 and verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Now, it depends on how you read. Let's all go together again. Romans 12:6. It depends on how you read. One to go. Having then what do we have? Is it having gifts that are different from themselves, or having gifts that differ in the way we express it? It depends on how you read. What do we have? Let's read it again. Having then what? According to the grace that is, let us use what? What are we to use? What do we have? Gifts. What are we to use? So what are those gifts dimensions? Look at your Bible again. Let's list them. What are those gifts again? Prophecy. Exhort. Ministry. Do you do that? Is it just for one person? He that serves, that's ministry. He that prophesies. One even says, he that shows mercy. Is there a gift called showing mercy? For some people in the body of Christ. Huh? Bible says, the judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. So if there are people who don't show mercy and they can say, sir, it's because I'm not gifted. Hallelujah. And those ones are exempted. There's no such thing. Everybody can show mercy. Everybody can, you know, and you know, there's one there that says he that leads with diligence. So that's the idea of the fact that everybody will disciple somebody. Amen. You have to lead people. You have to direct. You have to, you know, leadership here is not basically about the gifts, the fourfold ministry. No. It's about our different services in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Showing mercy, ministry. Do it with all diligence, according to the proportion of the grace of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, there's not even an emphasis on leadership in the Bible like that. You know, you don't find leadership emphasized. Because at the end of the day, everybody will lead somebody. Amen. Everybody will lead people. Everybody will disciple. You are leading those you are discipling, you are a leader to them. Hallelujah. So that's important. So the gifts are not peculiar to certain individuals. There are gifts given to us, but we walk in them differently based on the grace of God and the work in our lives. Hallelujah. Are you following this? Let's see how Peter puts this. I'll quickly write this. So both for the gifts and the ministries, there's the grace of God at work uniquely in all of us. Both for the gifts and the ministries, there's the grace of God at work uniquely in all of us. That's what he meant by according to the proportion of faith. Amen. According to. Hallelujah. You know, at a point, I had to repent of my saying, man, the Pauline epistles, man, thank God for Paul. You know, I had to repent of that mindset. And I discovered that, see, the way John himself wrote his epistle is a blessing. And the way Peter wrote the epistle is a blessing. Do you get it? I mean, it was Peter that said, you know, we have been given the divine nature. He explained the Spirit of God in a way that is not even found in the Pauline epistle. The divine nature. Look at John's emphasis on love as a fruit of spiritual maturity. Glory to God. You know, you can look at the letter of John and say, man, if you are looking for a spiritually mature believer, it's about love. Amazing truth. The writer of Hebrews. So that comparison between gifts and all that, we should just be celebrating diversity. Put that in your notes. Not superiority. What are we meant to be celebrating? What are we not meant to celebrate? Superiority. There's no superiority. It's just diversity. Hallelujah. Diversity. Amen. The other thing we can separate is a sound preacher and a false preacher. Do you get that? You say this one is a sound preacher of God's word. This one is a false minister. This guy is a true prophet. This guy is a false prophet. But if all are sound, then there should be no comparison. You know, that's what Paul taught in 1 Corinthians 3. When some were saying, I'm of Apollos. Probably because Apollos was very eloquent. That was a man that before even understood the word, they said this guy was mighty in scriptures and eloquent. Yet, for a man like Paul, Paul would say, though I'm untrained in speech, I am not in knowledge. Paul was not that a gifted oratorical speaker. But that was the man that wrote letters. See his letters. So they said his letters are weighty. His bodily presence is contemptible. So we are not meant to be celebrating superiority. Just see it and see. There's diversity in the body of Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Which of the fruit is the best? An ignorant man will quickly say, watermelon. Hallelujah. Why watermelon? It has water. So, but which of them is best? Praise God. Now, let's not bring the argument to soft drinks. Because they can be best in that one. Amen. But when it comes to fruits, natural things, no side effects. There's no best. Each of them have their different, you know, nutrients, different benefits and all that. When it comes to drinks, of course, each of them too have their different damages. You know, one can damage the liver, another one damage the kidney. So that's why we can choose which is best. Amen. So that's a layman's illustration of how to see the body of Christ. That no particular person is the best. No particular person is superior. What we have is what? Diversity. You listen to some preachers and you know, they say, that guy can preach a roof down. You listen to another preacher, man is just talking like he has not eaten. Amen. And then you'll be shocked. People will say, I cannot, man, nobody has blessed me like this man. You'll be like, this one. Can he bless himself? Praise God. You know, there are preachers like that. You will look and say, can this one bless himself? I was passing by a meeting one day. The man said, let's not be cold in this meeting. There is a revival here. We are seeing the revival. Let's not be cold. Brethren, pray. There is a revival. I said, are you revived like this? Amen. But amazingly, people were praying. People were responding to him. People were getting blessed. There are preachers I listen to, I doze off. Hallelujah. Not because they are not preaching well, but me, I was raised with all this shouting and screaming. Until you do that, you are not preaching. Amen. So, but there are people, that's why we have the diversity. So let them listen to him. Amen. While I listen to my own style. Hallelujah. But what if I'm in the room or I'm in a location where those are the only kind of preachers around? I have to do what? Adapt. Hallelujah. I'm not saying, man of God, you need to come up. You need to learn homiletics. There's a way to preach. No way. Diversity. You find it in everything. In the gifts of the Spirit, in the ministries, you will find diversity. You will find different operations, different styles. And that diversity is what we are to celebrate and esteem. Glory to God. Nothing else. It destroys carnality in the midst of us. It destroys carnality in the body of Christ. Some said, I'm of Cephas. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Paul. Sound ministers of the gospel. Paul said, see, this does not make sense. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter 4. Let's see also how Peter explains this idea of diversity. 1 Peter 4, 10 to 11. As each one has received a gift. It's one of the few times I prefer the KJV rendition. It says, as each one has received the gift. It's not a gift. It is the gift. Because Peter here was not talking about a particular gift. He was talking about the gift of the Spirit. Hallelujah. As each man has received the gift, minister to one another as good stewards of what? The manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's write this down. So we are stewards of what? The manifold grace of God. Each one of us, stewards and custodians of the manifold grace of God. Hallelujah. Manifold. What is the word manifold? That is the word that means various in character. Oh Jesus. Various in character. The man is a custodian of grace that is manifold and various in its character. That's the word diverse. That's the word translated diverse. Put this down. Diverse. Diverse diseases. Matthew 4:24. Oniruru aiso. Diverse diseases. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Matthew 4:24, Mark 1:34, the same word. Luke 4:40. Luke 4:40. Mark 4:24, Mark 1:31, Luke 4:40. Diverse lost. 2 Timothy 3:6. Diverse. You know, when you see diverse, it means there are different kinds of it. Hallelujah. That's why we're reading this. Then we have diverse miracles. The same word. Hebrews 2:3-4. That word translated manifold is the same word. Diverse miracles. Hebrews 2:3-4. Hebrews 2:3-4. Then we have diverse and strange doctrines. Hebrews 13:9. Diverse and strange doctrines. Lastly, we have diverse temptations. James 1:2. Hallelujah. You know why I walked you through all that? If the devil is so generous with his own things and he gives people diverse, hallelujah, why do you think God will be frugal and stingy? So what God has given us is manifold. Amen. Manifold. You know, the devil doesn't withhold. If he can give one person all the sickness in this world, he will do it. Malaria, typhoid. That's why some of us is malaria and typhoid. They must come together. Malaria, typhoid, diabetes. Eh? Diabetes. As you are trying to get cured of diabetes, say colon cancer. Hey! Say this man is going home. You know, there's a way we pray in the body of Christ. Our prayers are based on the problem. If the problem is not that serious, people flexing their muscles in the name of Jesus. You are getting healed. You come out of this. Malaria. Typhoid. You are out of it. Now. Praise God. Said, the man, they said the sugar is now very low. And he has entered coma. Coma. Coma again. Come out of it. Pray. See. The doctor said, we have to put him on oxygen. Oxygen. Yes, we'll pray. We'll still pray. Hallelujah. And when doctors stop picking your calls, and they say, we would like to see you in person. Hey! Praise God. Now, you know, sometimes the situations get so hopeless and then people lose their drive for the miraculous. But see, the hopelessness of the situation does not determine the manifestation of God's power. Hallelujah. It does not. Glory to God. Hey, COVID. And they shall lay hands on the sick. It's not really literal. Amen. It's not literal. That lay, the word lay in the Greek. You can waylay people. The man will just give the different explanation. Wherever you are, the power of God will touch you. This is COVID. Hallelujah. I was joking with a sister on Sunday. She said she's been having breathing problems. I said, maybe it's COVID though. He said, no. I said, what if it's COVID? He said, but it cannot be COVID. It must not be COVID. Praise God. Yeah, let's go and do this. Asthma. Thank God. Glory to God. Thank God. Thank God. I'm the heed of the Lord. I'm the heed of the Lord. Hallelujah. Imagine people giving testimonies when they discovered that they had HIV. And it's not COVID. HIV. You are glad. Hallelujah. Let's trust God. The power of God knows no boundaries. When all things being equal, the power of God knows no boundaries. Hallelujah. It is men that put a limitation on the expression of God's power. Men. I mean, the moment you see the mountain and you are scared, forget it. You see it and you're like, so it's a different ball game. At that point in time, it will be hard. Divers, gifts, divers, miracles, divers, and strange doctrines. And then we have divers, temptations, and then that's the same word translated, manifold grace. Amen. So Peter says we ought to minister it according to the ability of God, right? According to the ability that God supplies. The NIV says, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone says, he should do it with the strength that God provides. Hallelujah. He should do it with the strength that God provides. That's the reason why I can teach you God's word and then I give you the mic to come and bless us next week. And when you are preaching, I'm like, God, thank God for this gift. You know, you may be saying the same thing. As a matter of fact, that is discipleship. You are saying the same thing. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, from verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you have heard from me amongst many witnesses, commit this to faithful men who are able to teach others also. So you are saying the same thing, right? But then, the manner of presentation, how you say it, the flow, everything, you know, we just see. There's the grace of God upon this guy. Hallelujah. That's what we're saying. Not that you cannot preach as much as I preach. You know? Or you say, I don't want pastor to feel like I'm competing with him. Glory to God. Then you come here and you are preaching like, see, if that's your style, no problem. You know, there was a Sunday I said, Deji, was Jumoke and Odiame should preach. Odiame came up and then taught. At the end, in fact, by the time it was closing, he had preached the whole house up. Amen. Then Deji came, preach, and Jumoke came. So let's open our Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 4. That's what Paul was saying there. So to get there. So Ephesians chapter 4. Over there, get God for like that. You know? No, cannot kill herself. And she was preaching well. Hallelujah. Preaching and she cannot kill herself. After the meeting, they say, emoji. Well, that's her own style. Praise God. So you find that there will be different expressions. Amazingly, when you find her in the midst of people playing, she's very expressive. Shouting, screaming. So, but when it comes to teaching, she has teacher mode. Amen. So you find different expressions. Hallelujah. Paul will say, I wish to write to you. I wish to come. John will say, whoa, I don't want to use ink. Amen. I'd rather see you face to face. Say, it's because he doesn't know how to write. That was the man that wrote 1 John now. So it can't be a problem with writing. Something about him that just preferred a face-to-face dialogue. Hallelujah. Different expressions. So we have to appreciate that and celebrate it in our midst. Let me begin to attempt to close. Let's write. So the reason you don't find the how to interpret tongues in the Bible. So the reason you don't find the how to interpret tongues in the Bible is because it's not one of those things you are to learn from people's experiences. It is not one of those things you are to learn from people's experiences. It is the ability of God through you. Hallelujah. I'm going to close well tonight. It is the ability of God through you. You know, last week it felt like I just came to slander people on this same matter. You know, but I knew I was going to take my time to come and explain and teach these things well and help you put things in perspective. See, it is not one of the things you learn at all. It is the ability of God through you. Now, look up, everybody. If you did not learn how to speak in tongues, let me not assume. Is there anybody in this place that learned how to speak in tongues? I'm not talking about people sharing with you what tongues is from the Bible. I mean, they said this is how to say it. If you did not learn that, why do you think you need to learn how to interpret it? How does the utterance come? By what? Who gives the utterance? So how does the interpretation come also? If you refer to 1 Corinthians 12, it is clear. To one to another. We saw that to one to another can also mean to one, to the same person. Amen. Can be to the same person. By the Spirit of God. So you don't need to learn it. Just like I said, you don't need to learn how to see visions. The moment we teach you how to see visions, you stop seeing. Amen. If you don't stop seeing, you start seeing nonsense. Praise God. Nonsense. You start drawing imaginations. You look at this brother, you see a demon. You see something on his shoulder. You see something on his head. You start seeing things everywhere you go. Glory to God. Brother, don't cross that road. I see river. There's no river here. It's just the road. What I can see is a river. And if you cross, it will take you away. But in Rukuri. Hallelujah. Visions. Can you decide to dream tonight? Yes or no? I'm asking you now. Can you decide tonight I will dream? See, if you dream, something is wrong. If you say tonight I'm going to dream and you dream, something is wrong. Tomorrow you say I will dream again. You dream, something is wrong. Hallelujah. Glory to God. One guy said to me, we do these things at will. I said, what am I wearing? You know, we're talking on phone. What am I wearing? And he said, no, you can't tempt me. I cannot tempt you. You tempted yourself. Because Otiha. Otiha. Oh, yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Or you can toe the line of view, say red, Kampala, Guinea, and then you get it right. Praise God. At will. Come and go and walk on water. Let's leave all this one. Go and walk on water. In fact, a pail of water. You will drown in this church. Praise God. At will is how people have gotten to stretching their hands. At will. Amen. Say, look at my hands now. When it's about to grow longer. You know, with an expert camera guy. Post on YouTube. Glory to God. I wish God answered such prayers. As you just long, doesn't come back. You are normal. You want to be abnormal. You know, I've not seen it in the Bible where somebody was well, then I said, to test the power of God, let's make him unwell. Glory to God. At will. One day, some people will die at will. Because they want to resurrect. You know, it doesn't make sense. Let's go on. You won't find it. It's the ability of God through you. Hallelujah. By the way, what does it mean to interpret? Let's see this. It simply means to translate or to unfold the meaning of a thing. Simply means to translate or to unfold the meaning of a thing. That's interpretation. I'm talking in tongues. You don't know what I'm saying. So when I interpret, I give you the meaning of what I've been saying. It's a translation. Hallelujah. But it is not a translation in the form of interpreting word for word. So that's where it is not the same as how people interpret things in the natural. Amen. Look at 1 Corinthians 12:10. Are we all there? Let's read quickly. I'm closing. 1 Corinthians 12:10. Are you there? Hallelujah. Glory to God. No pressures, guys. No pressures. Just yield to the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:10. Are you there? Let's read. To another what? And to another? Prophet, and to another? Son, and to another? And to another? Interpretation of tongues. The word interpretation there is the Greek word hermeneia. Hermeneia. Interpretation. Hermeneia. It means translation. It means translation. Also, it means interpretation of what has been spoken obscurely. Interpretation of what has been spoken obscurely. Now, I'm going to make a statement tonight. Don't take my word for it. Just go and think or meditate more on it. Do your research and let's see if I'm right. Interpretation of what was spoken obscurely. Now, that's the same word you find at 1 Corinthians 14:26. The same word. Now, look at 1 Corinthians 14:26, yes. That's the same word. When you come together, each one has this, each one, and then interpretation of tongues. Now, write this down. This word is from the root word, hermeneo. 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 What does this mean? It means to explain or expound. It means to explain or to expound. To explain or to expound. Number two, to translate what has been spoken. To translate what has been spoken or written in a foreign tongue. What has been written, what has been spoken or written in a foreign tongue. Now that's what you find at John 1:38. Look at this quickly. John 1:38 and John 1:40. 42. To translate what has been spoken or written in the foreign tongue. John chapter 1 and verse 38. Hallelujah. John 1:38. Look at this now. It says, turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which when interpreted means what? Teacher. That's the word there. So is that the translation? Is that the translation? Yes. So it can be translation like that for normal, you know, speaking. It's the same word used to say you are translating from one language to another. You know, Rabbi is not English word. It's a Greek word. So the interpretation of Rabbi is teacher. You find that John 1:42 also. John 1:42. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which when interpreted is Peter. That's the same place. That's the same thing, brother, you find there. Look at John chapter 9, verse 7. See how that word is used. Emmanuel. John 9 and verse 7. Glory to God. John 9, 7. John 9, 7. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam, which, when interpreted, means what? Sent. So it's an interpretation. Siloam means sent. Glory to God. Hebrews 7, 2. Last one. So it's a translation. But in the case of interpretation of tongues, it is not a word-for-word translation like this. But it's a translation of what you were saying in an unknown language. Hebrews 7 and verse 2. Are you there? Hebrews 7, 2. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 2. And I'll read. Bible says, and Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, the name Melchizedek means king of righteousness. Then also king of Salem. King of Salem means king of peace. So when interpreted, you find it like that. So in the KJV, in the NKJV, you find when translated. In the KJV, you find when interpreted, and all that. So it's the same word. Now, does this sound like the English word hermeneutics? Huh? Hermeneutics, yeah, because that's the root word for hermeneutics. A translation. Now, this is the statement I was about to make. That this is why I have a little reservation for the phrase Bible interpretation. I have a little reservation, and I will explain. Because hermeneutics means translation, interpretation. Given by, you know, or judging by the things we've seen about the definition, it means to uncover the meaning of something, right? So, when we read the New Testament, when we read the Bible today, are we trying to interpret, or we are reading an interpretation? Huh? Am I to be trying to interpret the Bible, or am I meant to read the interpretation of the Bible that we already have been given? It's important to. I don't see this as merely trying to criticize Bible interpretation. No, I've always asked that question. Because Emmanuel is about unfolding the meaning, so it stops being obscure. Hallelujah. Now see this. Look at 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 5. You notice I rarely use that word. You should have noticed. I rarely use that word. I rarely. I would rather just say we are studying scriptures. I'm not saying it is wrong. It's still my findings. But you know, from what we have seen in scriptures, are we to be interpreting the scriptures? Or the scriptures have been interpreted. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 5. You see that word there? Are you there? 1 Corinthians 14, 5. What does he say? Unless he what? Huh? Let me hear you now. 1 Corinthians 14, 5. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but that you all do what? Yeah. Unless you what? Interpret. Now, look at the meaning of the word interpret there is the word diermeneo. D-I-E-R, D-I-E-R-M-E-N-E-U-O. That's the word there. Unless he interprets. Praise God. Now, what does this mean again? This particular word also, like we've seen, it means to unfold the meaning of what he said. It means to expound. Did you get that? That's what it means. Now, look at Luke 24, verse 27. Luke 24, 27. This is important. Luke 24, 27. Hallelujah. Are we out there? Luke 24, 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning who? Are you in church? Beginning at where? In all the scriptures, what did he do? He expounded. Amazingly, the word expounded here is the same Greek word, diermeneo, used at 1 Corinthians 14:5. So what did Jesus do to the disciples? What did he do with the scriptures? He interpreted the law and the prophets. Hallelujah. Jesus did what? Interpreted the law and the prophets. That's what he did. So that means when we read the New Testament, we are not trying to interpret. Come on, guys. What are we doing with the New Testament? We are simply reading the interpretation of the scriptures. Mind you, the scriptures in those days were the Old Testament books. Those were the scriptures. So the apostles, Christ and his apostles, interpreted the scriptures. Why was there a need for them to interpret the Old Testament? Because it was mysteries. Hallelujah. It was what? Mysteries. They were not said in plain language. So you need to try to figure out why the person was saying what he was saying. What was he even saying? The challenge of the guy at Acts 8, Enoch of the Ethiopian, that man, his challenge was not with the New Testament. Hallelujah. Are you aware also that he was not puzzled about what was being said? What he did not really understand was, why was he saying this? Who was he saying this about? Because the Old Testament books are like that. So Jesus had to interpret the law and the prophets. So what we are reading today is what? An interpretation. So when you read Ephesians chapter 3, Paul says, see, by which when you read, you would understand my knowledge, the mystery of Christ. You will understand. What we are reading today is the revelation. That's the word apocalypse, the uncovering of the Old Testament. Glory to God. At 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says, when the Old Testament is read, there is a veil that lies upon their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is what? Taken away. It's uncovered. Hallelujah. Translation. Now, let's leave this issue for now. Back to the issue of interpreting one's tongues. So, the utterance of tongues is produced by the Spirit. The interpretation also comes by what? By the Spirit. And the interpretation is just to give meaning or to translate what you were saying in tongues. Hallelujah. Now let me show you this example again. Daniel chapter 5. It is not a word for word translation. I'm not saying Daniel was in the book of Daniel they were praying in tongues. I'm just showing you how things can be interpreted without it being a word for word, you know, interpretation. Interpretation just means to translate what was meant. Amen. That's what it means. So look at Daniel chapter 5. Again, I say, this is not tongues. It is not tongues. I'm just showing you an example, a pattern of how things can be translated without necessarily, you know, towing the path of trying to have a word-for-word translation. Daniel chapter 5, verse 25. Are you still here? Daniel 5, 25. I'll read. It says, this is the inscription that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Peresh. Yes, that's what is there now, as you shall see soon. So, Tekel, Tekel, Mene, passing. Here is what these words mean. Mene. What does it mean? Why? It's too long. It's meant to just be goddess. Mene. You know? But it is not a word for word translation. It's the meaning. The meaning can be a full scrap sheet. Hallelujah. So mene alone means God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. Who could have thought? What is the next one? Tekel. You have been weighed on the scales and found wanting. Just normal tekel. Then Perez. Your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. At least we know where Perez is from. It's from Persia. The prince of the king of Persia. Hallelujah. So you see, that's how interpretation is actually. It is to give meaning to what he said. Glory to God. So somebody can come out and talk in tongues 2 minutes and then he's interpreting and it takes 30 minutes and you're like, hallelujah. Just something you said for 5 minutes. Just say you want to preach. No, it could be. The interpretation could be that long. Hallelujah. Giving you more explanation. In fact, one of the meanings means to explain thoroughly. So as he's interpreting it, and then he feels a need to let you understand it better. You know, listen now. By the time the interpretation comes to you, you already understand what you are trying to pass across to them. So you can communicate it in different words to let the, you know, understanding sink. Glory to God. So we don't learn it. It has to be spontaneous. Hallelujah. Formulas won't work here. I've heard formulas like the first thing that comes to your mind. What does that even mean? It depends on the mind now. It depends on the mind. If you were worried before you came to church, most likely worry will jump in your heart. What do you mean by the first thing that comes to your mind? Glory to God. If as a damsel, you are already tripping for a brother in the church and you start praying in tongues and you want to interpret, the first thing that comes to your mind is that brother. Don't think that's the interpretation. You know? It cannot be. That's a formula and it will fail. So, away from those formulas. Some of you will say, set your mind on trying to exhort the person or edify the person. Kuku exhort. You know? No. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. And if there's a need to give a word as an interpretation of tongues, you will know what to say. Glory to God. You will know what to say. I remember the first time I gave a word in the meeting. I remember clearly. You know what the word was? That day, as we were closing the meeting like this, a burden just suddenly rested on my mind that somebody is in the meeting that has a word for the pastor and is afraid. And I just said, in fact, I said it like I was scared of breaking the protocol. I said, there's somebody here that has a word. That was how I said it. That has a word for the pastor. You know, before I could land, somebody said, yes. That was not the guy. He also perceived the same. And then they called out. They said, okay, who is the brother? And then this guy came out. Very shy brother in church. It was so accurate. And he came out. And he gave the pastor an accurate word. You know, that was the first time. Nobody taught me how to. Nobody showed me. In fact, the truth is, I could leave that meeting and say, if you want to give a word like this, a body will just suddenly rest on you. It becomes a problem. People will be looking for body. Hallelujah. In a meeting, where's this body? I've given words at other times that there was no feeling. I just leave. You know which one that, you know the strangest for me? I've called cases that did not cross my mind first. That one is the strangest. It could be in different ways. Don't preempt God. Don't preconceive. Just follow the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And listen, final things I'm going to say. It is instinctive because the Holy Ghost is in us. It is instinctive because the Spirit of God is in us. So you don't learn it. See, some of those who have made mighty progress in things of spirit, made mighty progress, working miracles. Some of them did not even know the Greek word for interpretation of tongues. They just busied themselves with scriptures, praying, and all that, and they began to flow. At the first time I said I flowed in it, I had not listened to any teaching on how to give a word. But I did. Now, the teaching came, and I understood it better. So teaching will give you a better understanding. But like I used to say, even if you hear no teaching, and you are faithfully following the instruction to give yourself to prayers, you will experience those things. Amen. Hallelujah. It's like not being told the importance of eating, of drinking oranges. You don't know the importance. You don't even know the Greek word for orange. But you take oranges. You will benefit from it. Do you get it? The day you now know the importance, there's a deliberateness and intentionality that begins to follow how you practice it. Amen. So it's important. So it's instinctive for us because it's the gift of God in us. The Spirit is in you and I. And what is this Spirit? Our nature. The Spirit of God is our nature in Christ. The Spirit of God is what? Have you noticed that the things that are natural flow out naturally? They flow out naturally. So, when you understand that the Spirit of God is the nature of God, of Christ in the believer, you understand the things of Spirit have to be natural. They have to flow out that naturally. Not rehearsed, not premeditated, not trying to follow a style. No. It's natural. Hallelujah. What is the new birth again? What's the new birth again? John 3:6. That which is born of the flesh is what? And that which is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit. Two natures. The nature of man, the nature of God. So that's the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 15:45-49. Speaks of us being in the image of the heavenly man. What is that image? The Spirit. 2 Peter 1:3-4. Bible says, according as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that called us by virtue to virtue and glory, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through this you may be partakers of what? The divine nature. What is that divine nature? The Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So, see, when you understand nature, it changes everything. Nature. It's like saying somebody is trying to teach you how to walk in the works of the flesh. You don't need any tutorial. Do you get it? So, there's no how-to. When you look at those gifts very well, there's no how-to. All of them, what you find is an explanation of what they are. So, in a meeting like this, you can see a demonstration of it, and that can inspire you to also do the same. Is that right? But then, we don't now chronicle those experiences and say, this is how you must always flow in it. That becomes an error. Hallelujah. That becomes what? An error. And you know, that is not the will of God for us. You should have noticed. Write this down. You should have noticed. You should have noticed that there's an overall emphasis on studying the word and praying. You should have noticed that there's an overall emphasis on studying the word and praying rather than an emphasis on how to walk in the gift of the Spirit. That's what you find. Overall emphasis of the apostles on the things of the Spirit. No, you will find more of an emphasis on men giving themselves to God's word and praying without ceasing. Because if you pray always, boy, you will experience the things of the Spirit. You will. That is your practice. That is the thing to spend time in. So you don't find the how-to. You don't find how to talk in tongues. How to prophesy. You don't find those things. You only find a knowledge of what they are and the significance and, you know, how those things are a blessing to people. You don't find the how-to. There are no formulas or rules around them. The moment you start making rules around them, you are going to shortchange many from walking in it as the how-to. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Say with me, I have the leading of the Spirit. I respond to the leading of the Spirit. I know how to minister. I know when to minister. I know what to minister per time. Say, I'm prompted by the Spirit from within. Say, the Spirit is my nature. The things of the Spirit flow out of me naturally. I know how to interpret tongues. It is instinctive. I know how to prophesy. It is instinctive. I know. Hallelujah. See, I'm full of words. I'm full of utterances. You see, that's your nature. It's there. Hallelujah. It's there. All of God's spiritual intelligence is in the spirit. You will just know. Hallelujah. Listen. That's the reason why you can see a vision. No other person will understand, but you will understand it. You will understand it. How do you make sense of what you just saw? But the understanding will come spontaneously. I remember the first time I saw an open vision. I had not seen it before. You know what happened that day? We were preparing for a meeting. I was the head of that group. And when I was done in Ife, so I went to have my bath. We had gone to the venue. And then we had arranged everything. We were set for the meeting. And I went to the hostel to have my bath. As I was having my bath, I just saw a vision. What did I see? I saw all the members fighting themselves. That was what I saw. In a flash. You know what? I knew why they were fighting themselves. From what I just saw. Can you be that intelligent? No way. It is the Holy Ghost. Guess what? I got back to the venue. They were all laughing and playing. I felt like I must have been hallucinating. But because I was not a stranger to those things, I walked up to the coordinator, the lady I put in charge, and I said, what happened when I went away? She said, they used to call me Ogai Bike. They said, Ogai Bike, it's God that took control. Things almost scattered. People were just fighting unnecessarily. It was this one that I said, we'll talk after. I said, I saw it. Hallelujah. What I saw physically when I got there did not look like it. But I had a supernatural sight. I knew what led to the fight in the bathroom. It was not a special meeting. I wasn't planning. I wasn't trying to see. Amen. How to see vision. Just stand in one place. Now focus. Maintain your posture. Are you an athlete? Do you want to run? Vision? No. You don't preempt it. Visions come. Hallelujah. You don't seek it. See, when you open your eyes, you will see. Naturally. So when your spiritual sight is open, you will see things. If God wants you to see something now, you will. It's about the Holy Ghost. Lift your hands and give Him praise. Thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. We see and know as we are led. We hear His voice and we follow. And as we pray, and as we pray, we see expressions of the Spirit of the Lord. We see and know.
We see and know.
As we are led.
As we are led.
We hear His voice.
We hear His voice.
As we follow.
And we follow.
As we pray. And as we pray. We see expressions of the Spirit of the Lord. Sight and sound.
Sight and sound.
We see and hear. And we know. As we are to know. There is power. Mighty demonstration. Glory by the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, sight and sound. We see and hear. Woo. And we know. As we ought to know. Hey. That's done. There is power. We know as we ought to know. Mighty demonstration of His glory.
Glory
the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, sight and sound. We see and hear. And we know as we ought to know. Hey! Woo. And we know
that we have to know there is power.
Mighty demonstration.
Oh, glory by the Spirit of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Let's give our offerings quickly.
Side to side, we see and hear, and we know. And we know and we have to know.
Mighty demonstration.
By the Spirit of the Lord, side to side,
side
to side,
side
to side, we see and hear,
we see
and we know,
and we ought to know,
there is power,
mighty demonstration,
of His glory,
of His glory.
By the Spirit of the Lord.
Glory to God. Meeting is closed tonight. Stay in the flow. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Sing spiritual songs. Get in the flow. Don't get out of it. Say hi to somebody also. We'll meet you on Saturday, evangelism. 5 p.m. We are going out to preach the gospel. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
By the Spirit of the Lord.